Country Bob FM.
How do you do? It's time for the voluminous Bob FM Almanac. Today it's Monday. We're back. I don't know if any... I didn't see any almanac salutes. We didn't lose anybody over the weekend, did we?
Not that I've heard.
That would be almanac worthy. Nope. I saw something about Carol Burnett, but it was fake news. Fake news to get people to try and click on a YouTube video. Stop doing that, people.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Or how about where they show one picture, like these stunning pictures will, send you to the moon, and then that picture isn't even featured in there, and it's nothing nearly what they tried to set it up as being.
It happens.
It's easy to be caught in that. Monday, May 21st, 141st day of the year, 224 left to go, 1891. I wonder if all the fans stuck around for this 61-round fight. Peter Jackson and Jim Corbett fought for 61 rounds, and it still ended in a draw.
Wow.
They still couldn't figure out who won the thing.
Wow.
They must have just been hanging on each other by that point.
Yeah, that's...
How do you even have any energy left?
I don't know what you do, you know. In round 47, I think I'm shot at that point.
Sports betting is coming.
Yes.
People are thinking it's going to be legalized here in Minnesota, a number of other states.
Uh-huh.
But in 1920 on this date... Policemen raid the bleachers at Wrigley Field. Actually, Wrigley Field wasn't built yet, right? Was that in the 20s? Look that up. This was 1920.
Yeah, I thought Wrigley Field was, in the teens.
Yeah, because it was after Fenway. Comiskey was the oldest there until it got tore down. But policemen raid the Cubs bleachers and arrest 24 fans. They were gambling, placing bets in the bleachers. Now that's going to be legal. In some states, where you can place bets on your phone.
But really?
In 1920, they went into the stands and arrested 24 fans for gambling there on site. 1926, Thomas Edison says Americans prefer silent movies over talkies. Boy, he was onto something there, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Thomas Edison, this date, 1926. 1927.
Lindbergh, dubbed the Lone Eagle, successfully piloted the first solo transatlantic flight, arriving in Paris in 33 and a half hours. Returning to the States, Lindbergh received a hero's welcome.
He returned to the States. Now, he flew to Paris, and then he returned on a ship. Charles Lindbergh, this is when the day that he landed in Paris, 33-some hours, Spirit of St. Louis. He was living in St. Louis at the time. You know, of course, he spent a lot of time at Little Falls, graduated high school at Little Falls.
Sure.
That's why they are the Flyers.
Did. Yep.
The first time a person had flown solo across the Atlantic Ocean, Charles Lindbergh. And he just didn't do it because he wanted to do it. Because why did you fly across the Atlantic? Because it was there.
Right.
There was a prize. There was somebody, a financier or some rich guy.
Put up some money.
Put up some money, like 20, 25 grand or something. And He's the first one to do it.
And that's why we were the Hopkins Lindbergh Flyers.
Of course.
Sure.
Why not? They don't exist anymore. It's just the Hopkins Royals now.
Right.
But 1927, Charles Lindbergh, and he became maybe at that time the most famous man in the world. He was the biggest celebrity at that time. And you know about his the Lindbergh baby.
For sure.
About his young son being abducted and killed.
32.
27. And then in five years later, in 32.
I've done it. Those were Lady Lindy's words when she got out of her machine in the field near the little village of Calmore. And all the villagers cheered her.
On the exact same date that Charles Lindbergh did it, Amelia Earhart landed.
Did they call her Lady Lindy?
Yeah, they called her Lady Lindy. She landed in Ireland, this date, 1932. She had taken off from Newfoundland.
Okay.
Lindbergh had gone from New York to Paris. She went from Newfoundland to Ireland, which wasn't nearly as long. It only took like 15 hours. Or 14 and some change or something like that.
That's enough.
So 1932, Amelia Earhart. We have recently found some evidence that says that she may have survived her attempt to circumnavigate the globe and fly around the world and was held by Japanese or, in Southeast Asia.
Yeah, that's what
and
it sounds like.
That's where she lived out the rest of her years.
They seem very certain that that is the case.
In 34, Oskaloosa, Iowa became the first city in the U.S. to fingerprint all of its citizens. I don't think cities don't do this now, do they? Although they do say, hey, bring your kids in, we'll fingerprint them.
Right.
so we can keep track of them.
You can do that at the state fair.
You can. But 1934, Oskaloosa, Iowa. 1980 here this date.
Now, the creators of the biggest smash hit of all time bring you the next episode in the Star Wars saga, The Empire Strikes Back.
It was a good one, and it debuted on this date. Movie theaters, Empire Strikes Back, the sequel. Some say the best sequel of any movie ever.
Yeah, it was good. I did see the first couple. Yes. Saw Star Wars, saw that one.
We found out, of course, the shocking news in that one was that, Princess Leia kissed Luke Skywalker.
Right.
It wasn't a brother-sister type kiss, and then we found out later that they were brother-sister.
Right.
Later on in Return of the Jedi. But, of course, Vader was their father.
Mm-hmm.
We found that out in that one. Oh, boy.
I'm your father.
1980 and 81.
The New York Islanders have won the Stanley Cup for the second consecutive year, defeating the Minnesota North Stars tonight, 5-1.
I was not happy about it. Donnie Beaupre in the nets, the New York Islanders, who were building a dynasty, that was their second of their, four in a row?
Yeah, they were loaded.
They had everybody.
They had Mike Bossy.
Yep.
He was a sniper.
Minnesota,
goal scorer. Wow.
The North Stars falling to the Islanders 4-1. This was game 5 at Nassau County Coliseum in 1990.
I was an innkeeper in this crazy little town in Vermont.
I'm happy for you. Good night.
It was good to have Suzanne Plachette back on TV.
Sure was.
Probably one of the best and most memorable sitcom finales ever. The finale to Newhart on CBS aired on this date 1990. Right. Where he gets hit in the head with a golf ball. Next scene, he wakes up, but he's back in his Chicago. It was Chicago for the Bob Newhart show, where he was the psychologist or psychiatrist, and he woke up next to Suzanne Plachette. And the whole thing with Newhart and the inn and everything up in New England was all a dream.
Right.
Taking a page from Dallas.
That was so well done.
They did that, yes. That was well done.
So well done.
Do you like reality TV? Well, you can... blame these guys.
This is the true story. Picked
to live in a loft
and have their lives taped
to find out what happens.
What?
When people stop being polite. Could you get the phone?
And start getting
the real world on MTV debuted on this day. Now, there's two kinds of reality TVs, kind of the hidden camera, hidden microphone, and I think Alan Funt was the one who invented that.
Yes.
Right? But the one where they put people together in their little science experiment, and then it's in a room and in a house, and they have cameras all over the place, and then they interview them on the side to get their explanations and what was going on. I think this was the first of that.
Yes.
And so if you like that style of TV, you can thank MTV on this date, Real World.
What I like is your Alan Funt impersonation.
We thought it would be funny. He's a little nasally, huh?
Right.
We thought it would be funny.
Right.
1999. Big news.
And the outstanding diva is... The streak is over, Susan Lucci!
Oh, man. They had to give it to her eventually, even if she didn't deserve it, I guess. Susan Lucci, 18 winless nominations. That streak came to an end.
Who made that announcement?
As Erica Kane, some guy.
Okay.
1999.
Sounded like Trump.
It wasn't.
I know, but it sounds like him.
Birthdays.
Who's that lady? Who's that lady? Beautiful lady. Who's that lady?
Well, it's Meghan Markle, of course.
Lady. Who's that lady? Real fine lady.
That's not a lady. That's a man, baby. So Ronald Isley of the Isley Brothers, founding member of the Isley Brothers, Shout was a big hit for them.
That's
and
good
that
tune,
one
man.
Right there, who's yeah. that lady? He's 77. Bobby Cox, the baseball manager. We beat him in 91.
Yes, he had a pretty impressive string, though.
Yeah, he had some nice club. You know, as Tom Kelly would say, you're only as good as your players. And when they would sign a good or player or they would trade for a good player, too, I guess I'm a better manager now.
Yeah.
Bobby Cox
but
is 77.
How many years in a row did they win the their division?
Too many to count, really.
11 or 12.
When you called me up this morning, told me about the new love you found. I said I'm happy for you. I'm really happy for you.
Light Rock from 1989.
Found someone else.
Bill Champlin singing lead on this song for Chicago. He was with Chicago in the 1980s.
There you go.
Kind of replaced Terry Kath.
Yes.
Bill Champlin, he... He's 71 today. Here's another good one.
You make me feel like dancing. I want to dance the night away. You make me feel like dancing. I want to dance the night away.
Did you dance to this in high school?
Oh, yeah. Very poorly.
1976. Leo Sayer. He's 70 today. Happy birthday, Leo Sayer.
Wow.
Oh, going back to Bill Champlin, he also sang, I don't know if you knew this, the theme to In the Heat of the Night, the TV show.
Oh,
you like
sure.
With Carol O'Connor?
Yep.
So Leo Sayer, the big 7-0 today. One of us.
Because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
And he's also
Hello.
Dumb enough to...
Small.
Leanne Tweeden a couple of times. Remember he did that with that picture?
Yes.
The picture? That was dumb enough to take a picture of
yes.
He was doing this to honk honk.
Come in, Berlin.
Leanne Tweeden. Yeah. Al Franken is 67, formerly of SNL. There he is as Stuart Smalley, U.S. Senator, had to step down.
Uh-huh.
Accusations, Neil.
Right.
There were accusations.
Got to make good decisions.
So Al Franken is 67.
No, I don't hate Balboa. But I pity the fool, and I will destroy any man who tries to take what I got.
What's your prediction for the fight, then?
Prediction?
Yes, prediction.
Pain.
He was good as Clubber Lang.
He was really good.
And B.A. Bad Attitude Baracus on the A-Team.
Yes, he was good.
Mr. T, now as he's gotten older, because as you get older, Neil, you know your spine isn't nearly as strong.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of get bent over. So he's had to lighten the amount of chain activity that has going on around his neck.
Sure.
He can't wear as much anymore.
Can't wear as much
no,
hardware.
He's had, like with every year, he has to like strip off a chain. So
he's probably down to like 7 or 8 now.
Right. So he's stripping off another chain from around his neck. Mr. T is 66. He had some nice cameos on some other shows. How about Judge Reinhold?
And a fine hairdo.
After the shootout at the club, I figured I needed more firepower. Yo, man, we got to talk seriously. Who do you think you are, Clint Eastwood? Dirty Rosewood?
Dirty Rosewood. Judge Reinhold, or Rudge Jeinhold, 61 today. Santa Claus, Beverly Hills Cop, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Clerks.
I love him
as Rosewood.
He's so
in
good.
Beverly Hills
yeah.
Cop.
The first couple were really good.
In Beverly Hills Cop 2, when he goes after the police chief, Lutz.
Yes.
Chief Lutz, when he goes at him at the end of the movie,
yeah.
It's perfect.
Yeah, that was great.
And he is 61.
In the 12th, Kemp found himself batting with the game tied at 2-2.
Mel.
George Frazier delivered, and so did Herbeck. Deep to right center. Going, it's gone. How about that?
Ken Herbeck hitting a home run in his first game. And who got Jake Cave? Got his first home run, first hit was a home run
yes.
for the Twins this weekend.
Yes, he did.
Called up to help with the injury-riddled Twins. But Ken Herbeck wearing number 26 in 81.
Okay.
When he was a rookie. Actually, his real rookie year was 82. He was a late call-up in 81.
August or September there.
Took George Frazier deep, who would be a future teammate of his.
That was at Yankee
with
Stadium.
With the Twins at Yankee Stadium. Ken Herbeck is 58 today. Happy birthday to Herbie. Big wrestling fan. If he would have been a wrestler, his name would have been T-Rex.
Yes.
He would have been T-Rex, and he quoted the Clawmaster a lot.
He
That's
did.
All the people need to know.
Yeah,
he would have been great at that.
Yes.
And Ken Herbeck, happy birthday. Ken Herbeck, as Bob Casey used to say.
Yes, he did.
Ken. He's 58 today. Happy birthday, Herbie.
All right. Gone but not forgotten. We move on, and we start with... let's start with financier Armand Hammer. He was chairman of the Occidental Petroleum Company in 1898.
Make a lot of money in oil back then.
Yeah, and he made a lot of money in all kinds of products. What do you have? What do you own right now in your house from Armand Hammer? There's probably baking soda, deodorant, many other
things.
Taking
away that fish smell from my refrigerator.
And there you go. He was born on this day. The year was 1898. Actor, director, Robert Call Me Bob Montgomery, 1904. He was in a couple of shows early on as an actor and director. Now, how about Fats Waller? Remember that name? Hall of Fame blues composer? There's a little ditty. I'll try and work it in maybe in the Bobathon called Ain't Misbehavin' that Hank Jr. recorded. That's Fats Waller music. He was born on this day, 1904. He was... Ironsides, and he was Perry Mason, Raymond Burr. TV theme time. somewhat haunting for Perry Mason.
It's not Matlock. Matlock had a much lighter
much
intro.
Lighter, yeah. But they both had about the same record. Neither one of them lost many cases. Raymond Burr was born on this day in 1917. Very talented singer-actor by the name of Dennis Day.
He was a friend in time of need. His name was Johnny Appleseed. On Johnny's coat.
We had a couple of Dennis Day albums growing up.
See, there you go.
And we had this one.
Sang for like Disney and things,
yes,
didn't he?
Yes. Dennis Day was born on this day, 1918. Scientist, physicist, and he kind of defected when we brought him into the fold eventually. Andrei Sakharov was born on this day, 1921. He produced the first Soviet hydrogen bomb, but I thought he came along to our side and helped us as well. Andrei Sakharov, 1921. Remember Peggy Cass? Did you ever watch To Tell the Truth? That was one of my favorite game shows. She was a featured panelist on that show many times and did some acting and stuff. Peggy Cass, born on this day, 1924. And David Groh was an actor. He was in Rhoda.
Hi, I'm Brenda's sister, Rhoda. Just visiting here. I'm from Minneapolis.
Oh, yeah, I could tell from your accent.
You got a good ear there. I mean, most people think I'm from St. Paul.
Oh, some Minnesota humor. That's like the pilot. That. That's the first episode of Rhoda right there. And, of course, that's the guy she would eventually marry on Rhoda.
Yeah. She was. He was also in Baywatch. I don't remember that, but maybe I didn't watch that episode.
But you weren't watching the guys on Baywatch.
Yeah, you're right. And I watched with the sound down most of the time.
Unless he had that surgery.
Yeah. And then for our rapper of the day, it's Notorious B.I.G.
Pretty significant.
Yeah, who was born
Biggie Smalls.
Biggie Smalls. He was born on this day, 1972. They're all gone, but not forgotten.
He was part of the East-West War, Neil.
Yes.
You've got a half-hour show on that coming up on Bob, right? A half-hour documentary that we're going to air here one of these days?
Yes, it's still in the works.
On the East-West rap war, East Coast, West Coast. It was crazy.
Nuts.
Let's do the Almanac Trivia giveaway right now. We're giving away... Now, last week it was one-day passes. This is a three-day deal.
Wow.
Three-day tickets to the Tree Town show with all those great artists that Neil mentioned earlier.
Coming up this weekend.
And it is this weekend. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Would you like to go? The question is, I mentioned Bill Champlin, who sang lead on Look Away and a couple of other Chicago songs, some of their later ones.
Right.
He sang with Peter Cetera and Hard Habit to Break. They kind of teamed up on that one. That's another great Chicago song.
Sure.
But I also said that he sang the theme to one of Neil's favorite television shows. It was an hour drama starring Carol O'Connor. That's as much as I'll tell you. But what was that show that he sang the theme for?
Yeah.
First caller with the correct answer wins Tree Town tickets, three-day tickets for Forest City, Iowa.
Yes, this weekend. Give us a call at 763-450-0100. Simply have the correct answer. We'll hook you up with those tickets.
All right. What show is it? Let us know. In the meantime, we're going to play you some George Strait.
Why not?
And then close out your Monday All Request Lunch Hour. Give you an update on what's going on with that. On the Bob Morning Show, Bob.
I'm not yours, baby.